Tantor Audio presents Broken and Screwed by Tijan. Narrated by Jillian Macy. Chapter 1. When I got to the bonfire, the smell of fire and booze filled the air. Underneath was the smell of sweat. My nose wrinkled up, and I grimaced, but headed towards it. The guys had been partying all day since it was the last day of school. I was glad I didn't smell anything worse. People swarmed in the woods as I continued toward wherever the fire would be. That's where my friends would be. Angie and Marissa liked to be the center of attention. Angie was the willowy blonde with a model's look. Her blue eyes seemed to launch out of her body. They were intense, smoky, and had ensnared most of the male population in our school. And Marissa rivaled her in the looks department. She was petite, with jet-black hair, dark almond eyes, and a personality that dubbed her Sullivan High School's man-eater. Even though we had finished our junior year and had 3 months of summer before we started our reign as seniors, I knew they wanted to start early. Those two were ready for the senior girls to leave so they could take the crown as the queens of our school.
Alex!
And there was one of them. I couldn't stop a chuckle as Angie leaned over her boyfriend's shoulder and waved at me. She was so eager, she tipped forward and fell down his body into the floor. She'd been standing on a truck, and her movements sent a jerking movement underneath the rest of the girls who danced there. They screamed, grabbing onto anything to steady them. A group of guys stood around the truck. Some of the guys were ogling the girls, but some of them were chatting with their friends. More than a few jumped forward and couldn't hide their smirks when the girls grabbed them for balance. Justin looked down at Angie on the ground, sighed, and continued talking with his friend.
Alex!
Her shout turned into a whine, and I took her hand. As I hauled her back to her feet, she groaned,
"I'm so embarrassed!"
You shouldn't be. She'd done it enough times over the past year since she had started drinking. Then I glanced around. Where's Marissa? Where else? She drew upright. Her tone turned snippy. Trying to hit on your man. I don't know why she even tries. He doesn't want a girlfriend since he broke up with Sarah. Everyone can see that Jesse Hunt is the hit-'em-and-quit-'em guy this year. Seriously, he's hooked up with someone at every single party. She threw her arm around in a circle, and her voice raised a notch. And everyone also knows that if he's going to date someone, it's going to be you. The slight enjoyment I had when I first got to the party died. Stop, Angie. Jesse and I aren't friends. We're nothing. She snorted. And if he was going to date someone, it would be Sarah. It wouldn't be me. He was with her for 3 years, remember? Those types of feelings don't vanish. She snorted again. Her chest jerked up and down, and she crossed her arms.
I'm going to get more beer. You want any?
I shook my head. She left even before she saw my response, but she knew I didn't drink. The only 2 times I ever had any alcohol were the 2 times I got wasted. Both nights intermingled with harsh memories. Memories I didn't even want to think about now.
Alex!
This time, it was Marissa. She had a bright smile on her face as she hurried around a group. She held a cup of beer in one hand and was wiping her face with the other as she stopped next to me. She panted for a second, but then flipped her black locks over her shoulder. Her hand went to her hip, and just like that, her pose could have been in a magazine. Hey! I was half warm, half cautious. Was she going to talk about Jesse? He'd been her obsession for the last month. I knew she didn't want to really date him, but she did want to sleep with him. Marissa had always harbored feelings for him most of our lives. She never uttered a word to me until the last 2 months, when she realized that Jesse and I were more strangers than what we had been. She latched onto my arm. I fought from cringing from her beer breath as she fanned herself.
Okay, first, Jesse is an ass.
I relaxed. Finally.
But holy cow, that makes him so super hot. Am I weird?
I must be wired backwards. I don't know, but I want him even more, I swear. Can you talk to him? Tell him I'm good in bed. No, wait. He has to know I am. I mean, hello. Then she frowned, and her eyes crinkled together. Wait, what was I talking about? Marissa? What? She perked up. Her nails dug into my arm. Let go of my arm. Oh! Her eyes went wide again. Oh my gosh, I am so sorry, Alex. Did I hurt you? Please tell me I didn't. I'm such an idiot. What was I talking about before? I peered closer. She didn't look that drunk. Oh, that's right! Her whole body jerked up in an excited spasm. She clapped her hand to her cheek. Please talk to Jesse. I know you say you don't want to. I know you say you're not friends with him. But I know you are. I know you both are still close. So do you think you could put in a good word for me? I had no words. Even for Marissa, this was more forward than she'd ever been before. She had to have been drunk, because the alternate option was that my best friend was incredibly insensitive to me. Had she not forgotten about the last year, or why Jesse and I weren't close anymore? And then someone threw their beer on her. She was soaked in an instant. Her mouth fell open. Anger filled her face, along with shock. But her eyes were wide as she turned. Angie stood there with a smug smile and an empty cup. She waved it at Marissa before her hand fell to her hip. Both of them faced off against each other. Angie stepped close. She was taller and looked down her nose at Marissa.
Are you kidding me? You did not just ask Alex to put in a good word with Jesse for you. Are you serious? Seriously?
You bitch! Marissa screeched. She wrung her hands in the air, as if she wasn't sure what to do with them. Guys, I started to step between them. I was hauled back by Justin. He bypassed me to grab Angie's shoulders. He turned her away, but sent a scathing look at Marissa as he did. Her hands flew in the air. What? She snapped at him. His eyes flickered once. A dark look was in them, and her hands fell back down. She took a breath, looked at me, and took another breath. I looked away. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. Comfort her? She was wrong. It had been too much for her to ask, but she had a beer thrown on her because of me. I had no idea what I was supposed to do here. And then I heard from her in a small voice, I'm sorry, Alex. I wasn't thinking about you. I took a deep breath. My stomach settled again, and I shrugged. It's okay. It's not. I was being a selfish bitch. I forgot. My heart pounded. What was she going to say? Never mind. Do you want something to drink? I let out a deep breath of relief. She hadn't said it. And, like Angie, she left before I could reply. They both knew me so well. Justin took Angie back to his truck, and they climbed inside. Her arms flew around. Her face kept switching from outrage to fury, and Justin kept patting her back. I stood there. I still had no idea what to do. They would reconcile in the morning. It was what they did. They would get heated. Both of them were so honest and open. At times, the words weren't received well, but they always made up in the morning. When I saw Marissa with some of her cheerleading friends, I knew it would be sooner than that. She was biting her lip as she cast concerned looks towards Angie. She sent a few towards me, but her eyes fluttered and she looked away. I made the decision to leave. This party wasn't for me, not that night, not with him there. A few girls called out goodbyes when they saw that I was leaving, but no one stopped me. No one dared, because the truth was that I wasn't close to any of them anymore. I had been. A year ago, I was one of the popular girls. It was why I had become friends with Angie and Marissa. No one could rival us when we were together. My phone buzzed as I neared where I had parked my car. I pulled my phone out and saw the text from Marissa. I'm sorry, I really am. Please don't be mad at me. I'm really, really, really sorry if I hurt you. I'm so stupid sometimes. Okay, all the time. This time. I was stupid this time. I'll make it right with Angie, too. Promise. Breakfast in the AM? Barney's? I thumbed a response back. Sounds good. Call when you wake up. A second later. Are you mad? Are you hurt? I heaved another breath. Was I mad? No, that was Marissa. She didn't think sometimes. Was I hurt? On this night, I couldn't breathe without hurting. I should have replied, told a lie to my friend, but I didn't. I pocketed my phone and kept my head down as I got to the car. Everything slowed to a halt after that. Nothing happened. No one made a sound. No one moved. There were no animals in the background. No smell that warned me. But tingles raced down my spine, and I knew. I looked up, swallowing over a knot. There he was, Jesse Hunt. His dark eyes penetrated me from across the 10 yards that separated us. His black hair had been buzzed since that afternoon. His lips were curved in a sneer, and he was sitting on my car trunk. His knees were pulled up as his feet rested on the bumper. He had on a sleeveless black shirt that was ripped at the ends. The tattoos on his arms seemed even darker from the moonlight. They were highlighted against his skin, though he was golden tan. My voice couldn't work. What are you doing here? I sounded hoarse. My heart was pounding. I couldn't get enough air. His top lip curved upwards in a smile, but he still kept the sneer on his face. I never knew how he could do that, but he had perfected it from when we were in junior high. What? You got those virginal panties on now? His eyes flashed a warning to me. What do you think I'm doing here? I swung away. Why could he affect me so much? Hey! He raised his voice a notch. It's a big night for us, Alex. Come on. Who else would I be with tonight? Only you and me. We're the only ones. I lowered my head. He was right. My heart slowed a bit. No one else could understand. No one else had loved Ethan like we had. But that didn't mean I wanted to think about my big brother at that moment. So I swung back and rushed out. I saw Sarah at the bonfire. She looks pretty. I wet my lips. When had they gone so dry? Do you think you'll ever get back together with her? I think she still loves you. He stared at me for a moment and then snorted. When he raised his hand, I saw the flask for the first time. He was drunk. Of course he was drunk. I blinked back rapid tears. He only talked to me when he was drunk. But no, that wasn't correct. There were lots of times when he had been drunk and he ignored my calls, my looks, or my pleas for any comfort he could have provided. Are you serious? He rolled his eyes, and for some reason, it seemed savage when it came from him. He fixed me with another penetrating stare. Come on, Alex. What are we doing here? You're on my car. He snorted again and raised the flask once more. It's Ethan's car. He gave it to me. I tensed, ready for a sharp rebuke, but it never came. Silence. My eyes snapped to his, and I was surprised to see that he wasn't looking at me. He had turned away. I could see his Adam's apple bobbing up and down. The image of it took my breath away. He was beautiful in that moment. The moon was behind him, casting its shadow over him, and when he looked back, he draped both his arms on his knees. His head hung down. His shoulders drooped as he took a breath. Hearing the shuddering inhale from him, I clasped my eyes closed. I heard the pain in him. My own matched his, and I wanted to go to him. But that was how it happened the last time. Nothing good came out of that except more suffering. I felt my wall crumble and whispered, "I'm tired of hurting Jesse." He looked back up. The cockiness was gone. The anger still burned in his eyes, but he had stuffed it down. I knew it was there, though, but it didn't keep me away. His torment was on the surface, and he let me see that. Tears burst from my dam. I couldn't stop them. It's the exact time that it happened, you know. Right now, it's 11:05, June 2nd. The pain suffocated me, but I couldn't turn away. I nodded, with my throat full. I know. Jesse sighed again and stretched his legs down. He slid off the trunk and leaned against it. The moonlight flashed over his flask as he raised it again. As I heard it empty, he tossed it aside and crossed his arms over his chest. Even though Jesse was lean, his biceps bulged from the movement. He had always worked out, but since Ethan died, he had doubled his time there. My God, I fucking loved that guy. A hand reached inside and squeezed my heart. More tears streamed from my eyes. I was helpless to stop them, but I choked out, "I know. Drive me home." My eyes closed again, and I wrapped my arms around myself. There it was. That was the request I knew was coming. My heart thundered while I tried to think clearly, and then I said, "Yes." The corners of his lips curved up, just slightly. We didn't speak after that. We didn't need to. I went to the driver's side. He went to the passenger side. And neither of us said a word as I drove past his black Ferrari, or even when we pulled up to the mansion his father had built when Jesse's mother had been dying. As we walked through the hallways, up the stairs, and to his back bedroom, my heart was calm. I was calm. And that made me not calm. I shouldn't have been calm. Jesse went to his bar and poured vodka into a glass. He slid it across the counter to me. I picked it up and waited until he poured one for himself. It was the third time we'd done this. Ethan's funeral, Ethan's birthday, and now, the anniversary of the day Ethan's car wrapped itself around a tree. He died a year ago, and nothing was the same. Chapter 2. When I woke up, I rolled over. I wasn't surprised to see Jesse beside me. Images of the night flashed in my head as I relived the erotic moments. There was a bittersweet taste in my mouth. I couldn't stop myself from looking at his back. He was turned away from me, with his arms bunched around the pillow under his head. He was on his stomach, and I could see the sculpture he had created over the last year. He'd been ripped before, but he was defined, molded, and a piece of art now. I sighed and wet my lips. The night had been one big blur of blind primal need. A carnal lust took over when I was near him, and that was the problem. Jesse hated me. He needed me on the nights when neither of us could escape Ethan's ghost, but the next morning would be another story. As he stirred, I hurried out of the bed and dressed. When I couldn't find my shirt, I spied a sweatshirt on the chair and grabbed it. "What the fuck are you doing?" I froze from the savagery in his voice. Then I turned around as I pulled the sweatshirt over my head and gulped. He sat on the edge of the bed with clear hate in his eyes. "What?" The small hope I'd had for morning pleasantries, maybe more, died inside. I looked away as I felt tears coming. I shoved them down, deep down, and hardened inside as I looked back. He still glared at me, but the loathing had been blanketed, slightly. He gestured to the sweatshirt. "That's mine. You can't have it." "Are you serious? I don't know where my shirt is. I need a shirt." He rolled his eyes and pushed up from the bed. His stomach muscles contracted from the movement, and his arms bulged for a moment before it went back to his lean build. Then he disappeared into the closet. He came out a second later with a different sweatshirt in hand and threw it at me. "You can keep this one." It was white with a green four-leaf clover on the front. "How generous," He flashed a smirk and rolled his shoulders back.
Whatever. Go in your bra for all I care.
He stuffed the other sweatshirt in a ball and tossed it across the room. When it landed on the bed, I gasped as I saw the front for the first time. I launched for it. He caught my wrists in his.
That's my brother's. I want it.
My body was pressed against his as I strained for the shirt behind him, but he held my hands above my head and nudged me backwards with his hips.
No.
He kept going with his head down. I tensed as I felt his lips skim my shoulder, and then I realized I was against a wall. Body aligned with mine, he leaned closer. His hips pressed against mine, his chest was against mine. Slowly my hands separated, and he slid them down against the wall. They curved underneath me, with him still holding on to them. I breathed deeply. I was trying to calm down. My chest jerked up and down from the effort it took. His lips softly touched my shoulder again. His hand curved over my waist, skimmed up my arm, and cupped the side of my face. He tilted my face back to meet his gaze, and then sighed. His pain was evident. It shimmered on the surface, but he shook his head. He rasped out,
"He died in that. I'm keeping it."
My eyes clasped shut. "I'm sorry, I really am." I felt his coldness before he stepped back. He had already retreated behind a wall. I looked up, but wasn't surprised when there was no emotion on his face, and I swallowed over a painful knot. The moments where he allowed me in were fleeting. I wondered when he would stop altogether.
"Do you need a ride to your car?"
My voice was hoarse.
"I'll call a buddy."
I jerked my head in a nod. We were done. Our needs had been scratched for the night. As I left, an empty feeling filled me once more. I knew it wouldn't be filled until Ethan's birthday, when Jesse would let me in once again. When I walked through the mansion, everything was dark. There were paintings on the walls, all of them in dark colors. A few sculptures had been placed in corners. None of them were happy. All of them seemed sad and depressed. It wasn't until I was almost to the front door that I realized none of the windows were open. All of the curtains were pulled shut. It was like the sunlight wasn't allowed inside. When I left the front door and saw my car in the open garage, I suppressed a shiver. Jesse's home was big, cold, and empty. I now understood why he lived with us most of the time since 7th grade until last year. His mother had died when he was in 8th grade, but I never considered what his home had been like. The few times I heard him mention his father, he never referred to him as Dad, just the Dick. When I drew close to my car and opened the door, I saw the cars lined up beside it. A Lamborghini, a Porsche, another Ferrari. Jesse only drove his black Ferrari, so these must have been his father's. My dad drove a Sable. Something told me our fathers were very different. And then I sighed. My phone beeped. I knew it was my alarm. I had to be at work within the hour. As I got home and rushed inside, my mom was in the kitchen. The aroma of coffee filled the air, and I heard the coffee maker still brewing. Before I slipped upstairs, I peeked around the corner. My mom still had her robe on, and she stood at the sink with a cup of coffee in her hand. I knew without seeing that there was a blank stare in her eyes. It had been there for a year. As I watched, her head dropped down, her shoulders sagged, and she placed the mug to the side. A disgusted sigh came from her before she reached inside a bottom cabinet and poured something in her coffee. I knew it wasn't creamer, and I knew it was alcoholic. That empty feeling doubled inside of me. I went to my room. My arms and legs were numb now, but I tried to shower and dress in a hurry. When I went back down the stairs, my mom was still at the sink. Her mug was raised back to her lips. When I went outside and looked through the window, I knew I was right. A blank stare was on her face. I raised my hands to her, but there was no reaction. Her eyes never blinked. She never wavered in her stance. So I left. When I got to the food court in the mall, I slipped underneath the counter at the coffee shop. Ben pivoted at my abrupt arrival and had an eyebrow arched high before I even met his gaze. I cringed at the curiosity in them and steeled myself. What? His mouth gaped open at me for a second before he snapped it shut in a dramatic fashion. Then he wiggled his eyebrows and pointed over my shoulder. Your BFF is here with all his godly basketball buddies. Then he gestured towards the trendy clothes shop closest across from us. And I think Casey and her winos are going to move in for the kill. I cringed again at the sarcastic pleasure he laced each of his words with. Sometimes, Ben, you're too interested in everyone else. He shuddered and clasped a hand to his heart. I cannot believe you would dare say such a thing. I rolled my eyes and filled a coffee for myself. He groaned as I put the lid on and sipped it. Why you drink that without sugar or cream is beyond me. It's foul, Alexandra. Foul, I say. I was about to respond when a customer approached our coffee hut, and I took care of their order. A steady line formed after that. It was an hour later before I was able to drink my own coffee. Ben reached over me for a lid as he handed the last order away, but then he checked me with his hip. He's still there, and he keeps looking over here. I knew who Ben was referring to. He was under the same assumption as Angie that Jesse and I were meant to be. We weren't, obviously. But I couldn't help myself and looked over. Immediately I was caught and captivated by him. His friends were laughing around him, but Jesse stared straight at me. I sighed and looked down. I couldn't handle him, not now, not after last night and how he basically threw me out. Ben gasped. He smacked his own chest, and his stomach jiggled from the movement. He hissed, "He's coming over here." And he was. Jesse stood from his table. A few of his friends glanced over, but no one stopped him. They went back to their stories or lounging in a cool way, the stance that jocks perfected long ago. He had showered. His jeans rode low on his hips, but he had a simple black shirt on. It didn't matter how simple his clothes were. He always looked beautiful. My stomach crumbled up and shattered into pieces as I admitted that last thought to myself. But then he was almost at the coffee hut.
Hi, Jesse.
Casey stopped in front of him. Her hands were poised on her hips, which were prominent, under skin-tight white jeans and a pink top that fit like a second skin. She flipped her platinum blonde hair over one shoulder and laughed in a flirtatious manner. Her friends gathered behind her. All of them looked just like her, and Ben had once whispered that he thought their secret mission was to copy the leader until they took her down. When I caught a few of their hungry gazes, I wondered if it was true. If they waited in line until it was their turn to be the leader. When that happened, what guy would they go after? Ben hissed again beside me.
Succubi. They're all succubi.
I nudged him as one of the girls flashed us a dark look.
If they are, you don't want to take on a demonic beauty queen.
He shifted to the side and lowered his voice.
That's very, very true.
Jesse had moved around Casey, and she followed behind him. As he neared the coffee hut, she looked up. The light in her eyes dimmed and her smile slipped.
Oh, hi, Alex.
I gave her a polite smile, but gritted my teeth on the inside. Hi, Casey.
How are Angie and Justin doing? I heard they had a fight last night.
My eyes narrowed at her. If they did, I'm sure they've made up by now. You know how those two are, always hot together. She snorted and flipped her hair back again.
Whatever, they're not going to last. Justin was with me before. Everyone remembers the two of us. We were the perfect couple.
The corner of Jesse's lips twitched, and I knew what he was thinking. My eyebrow arched.
Then why'd you throw...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?